Hello and welcome to the Mogwai Podcast. My name is Amanda Stanley, and in this episode I had the absolute pleasure of talking to journalist, DJ and broadcaster Marianne Hobbs. Marianne has been a longtime supporter of Mogwai in both her career and also as a fan. And in this interview we discuss why the band continue to be such an important part of her music-filled life.
They're a band that I return to because they have a particular aesthetic and they have a standard. They set the bar for themselves so incredibly high. And I always know what they're going to do. And yet simultaneously, I never know what they're going to do.
I caught up with her over the phone and began by asking how she first discovered Mogwai.
Mogwai released a split single in 1996 with a band called Dweeb, and I remember just adoring that record. And it was really interesting. I was new to Radio 1 at that time, and as you probably know, my great hero was John Peel, a man who figured enormously in my childhood and kind of set me on the pathway to where I am now, I suppose. And I remember being quite intimidated at the idea of actually approaching John and even saying so much as hello to him. And I knew that I had to find a really good reason to do it. And I remember one day he was just standing in the corridor, like chilling, leaning against the wall. He was actually awake because frequently he'd be asleep under his desk in the middle of the afternoon. But I thought, I have what I need in my hands, I believe, and in my heart to approach Peel and say hello to him. And that was a shared love of that first Mogwai release, that split single. I knew that John was playing it and that he loved it just as much as I did. So I was able to go and introduce myself and actually say hello to John Peel for the very first time and express my love of Mogwai to him. And we shared the most extraordinary conversation about the band. And then at the end of the conversation, he said to me, I see you always clean your teeth before you go on air. I've noticed that. And he said, I do exactly the same thing. And he said to me, I've run out of toothpaste. Is there any chance that I could borrow your toothpaste? and so I said, yes, of course, you know, you can have the toothpaste if you need it. I'll just go and find buy another tube from somewhere. So yeah, my initial conversation with John Peel was about our shared love of Mogwai. And I like to return to that because it was obviously a very, very profound moment for me. So it's Mogwai and toothpaste that we initially bonded over.
That's such a lovely story though. In terms of like what particular, like when you were talking with John and, you know, even for yourself, just through hearing that first split single, what was it about their music that kind of made you kind of stand up and take notice?
I think it was just an incredible statement of intent. And at the time, I genuinely hadn't heard anything like it at all. It felt entirely unique and just loaded with promise, that early record. Mm. And it's interesting, you know, when I realized we were going to have this conversation, I was trying to remember the first point at which I met Stuart Braithwaite and I met the band, and I couldn't actually identify. I couldn't identify an event or a date. And I just wanted to say to you that I feel like they've always been in my life, Mogwai. And I feel like they're friends. And I feel that very singularly about them. Mm. In a way that I possibly don't feel about other musicians, you know. And I guess there are many different elements that draw me to Mogwai, but I suppose one of the key things is that I've always been interested in space in music. Mm-hmm. And that goes right back to the days when I was a kid and I used to sit on my bedroom floor and listen to David Bowie's album Low, and particularly the last track, Subterraneans. And I found this amazing sense of peace and space within that piece of music. And I feel similarly about Mogwai's work. I feel that actually there's an element of space within the sound. that I can almost physically inhabit. I feel like I can almost climb inside of it and that it belongs to me. And that I feel safe there. I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm finally home. And that's the way that I've always felt about Mogwai's music, right from the first instance when I heard that split single with Dweeb. And I seem to remember, actually, Dweeb being the much hipper young band at the time, but I don't know. I felt so hard for Mogwai's tune. I still feel exactly the same way when I play it to this day.
Testament to, yeah, like you said, like the sound that they were creating at that time, and looking back on like Mogwai Young Team now and things like that, and you're just like, actually, like that record still stands up 20 years on, and their sessions as well. But something I'm quite curious about is, because you've seen and like followed them through so many years, what was the different sounds that were happening around the scene in that time? I look back and I think of the trends of music in that time, and can you perhaps expand a bit on, like, yeah, what music was around in your workplace at that time, as well as the scenes in general?
I think as a consequence of the fact that I am a child of Peel, I'm almost entirely disinterested in genre per se, and John taught me that actually the more that you create boundaries around what you love, the more you're going to miss so much of your sonic life. And so I've always tried to kind of live a life of great exploration without nailing my colours to the mast of any tribe. That's not to say that I haven't championed passionately artists that I genuinely believe can change our understanding of what music can be. But if you look historically across any number of those artists, you'll always find that they come from entirely different genres, if you will. I think what stood out primarily for me in that moment was that Mogwai had a sense of texture and a sense of atmosphere that I identified with, a sound that I really loved and felt passionately drawn towards. And yet they stood entirely alone, really. It was interesting to see them collaborate with artists like Aidan Moffat of Arab Strap, who delivers such a beautiful vocal on Are You Still Into It? I'm sure you know the track very well. I suppose Aidan's great skill, his great quality as a songwriter is examining the decimation of human relationships, boy-girl relationships. And he does it so exquisitely in that track, in the way that he represents, I suppose, one side of a partnership, somebody who's clinging to the wreckage of a relationship, and another side that desperately wants to be free and to swim away.
Are you still into it? 'Cause I'm still into it. But we haven't had soul bits for about a fortnight. Am I your only one? 'Cause you're still my only one. But if you need more, I'll just do it. It's alright.
I spoke to Aidan very recently for my Six Music show, and he was talking about what a kind of profound sense of friendship there was between Arab Strap and Mogwai at that time in Scotland, and they really felt that they were kind of changing the world in their own little corner of Glasgow. And I think you can really feel that friendship resonating in the work that they did together. And yet, it's so extraordinarily different, isn't it, in terms of, I suppose, a fundamental sound, if you like. And yet there's a relationship, there's a friendship that ties those two bands together in my heart and mind that will always exist for the rest of time, I suppose, you know.
Something that I thought was interesting as well when I interviewed Paul was that Paul Savage, he was saying around Chemical, one of the things that stood out for him was just the fact that actually a lot of bands were going heading south in order to make it when they were signed to different record labels, or they were to be played, or you know, whatever, on air. And something that he brought up that was quite interesting with Mogwai was that actually they were on this, their first studio record release was on a relatively small label at that time, and it was also based up north in Scotland. And for people who are listening, or for people who perhaps don't know so much about the history of the music scene around that time, 20 years ago, why do you think something like a small label in Scotland, was it just the right place, right time, in that first album just completely exploded? I don't think Paul realized what was going to happen, and then it did happen, and obviously they grew arms and legs and off they went 20 years on, you know. So yeah, what do you think it was? Do you think it was just the right time for that, or the feelings that you picked up on that Mogwai record, do you think everyone else was kind of waiting for that and also just digested it the same?
I think Scotland is very key. I spoke to Stuart Braithwaite very recently, and I said to him that I believe that Mogwai carry a beautiful echo of the Scottish landscape with them everywhere that they go, right around the world. People get an impression of just the profound natural beauty of the countryside listening to Mogwai's music. And to me, it feels like a record that could never have been made in another location. It's in and of itself seated and grounded in the location in which it was made. And I think Stuart felt glad that that element had really resonated with me, you know. I suppose being northern too, in spite of the fact that I was based in London, you're always searching for emblems of the glorious creativity of the rest of the country. And I think it was a strength that Mogwai and the label were operating from the location that they did, and that Stuart has never left and has no intention of doing so. I can't imagine in this life or the next you'll ever see Stuart Braithwaite move to Camden, or indeed any of the bands. It's just never going to happen, is it? Berlin is cool, that's fine. London, I don't really see it. Certainly not in Stuart's case.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Something that I thought was quite interesting was that obviously over the years they've done so many sessions and recorded 7 Peel sessions between 1996 and 2003, and also like with yourself having hosted multiple specials on them. In terms of live setting for you, what are your feelings on like when you see Mogwai live, or like not only in a venue but also in terms of sessions, like how has that grown for you over the years of seeing them multiple times?
I was trying to remember the first ever session that they did for my Radio 1 show, actually, which was probably around about 1997. And they played in Scotland with Campag Velocet. I have a photograph somewhere, actually. And Stuart came on stage in a pair of slippers. That stays with me so vividly, that memory. And I guess there's something about watching Mogwai performing live that absolutely grounds you inside the moment. And they have a way of stopping time completely. And I think we're all so obsessed in our lives. We're either looking backward at things that have happened years ago, or we're anticipating what might happen next. We really lack the ability as humans, I think, to reside in a moment, to find ourselves within a moment. And I think that's one of the many things that Mogwai do for me. They allow me to exist precisely in the moment in which they are delivering whatever song they choose to deliver in that moment. And that's something that I find incredibly rare and very, very special. I always cry when I see them play, every time. And I was trying to think of the right kind of metaphor. And I guess I would return to something that Peel once said about the Fall. He said, they're always different, and yet they're always the same. And it might have been the other way around, actually. They're always the same, but always different. And I feel the same about Mogwai. They're like a touchstone in my life. They're a band that I return to because they have a particular aesthetic and they have a standard. They set the bar for themselves so incredibly high. And I always know what they're going to do. And yet simultaneously, I never know what they're going to do. And I kind of love that element about them.
past few albums, would you say that there's been kind of like a maybe a larger shift towards experimenting more again, like especially with the new album Every Country's Son? What were your feelings when you first got hold of that new record? For me, it feels like a very bright record and a very positive record as well. There's something totally different about this new one that really took me back, I feel. For yourself, how did you feel when you first had a listen through to the newest release?
Yeah, I would agree with you. And there's something that Stuart said to me about the record that resonates very deeply and I think will always stay with me. And he was talking about working in upstate New York with the producer Dave Fridman, who is a dear and old friend of theirs, and they returned to him for the making of this record. And he said to me that obviously we're experiencing some very dark times at the moment. And while they were making the record, he felt as if it was almost like a shield against the world. And I really love that metaphor. I could really understand what it was that he was trying to communicate when he said that. Mm-hmm. I had the great privilege of debuting it on BBC Radio 6 Music to the Mogwai fans around the world for the very first time, which was such an exciting moment as well. It just felt an incredible privilege to do that. And I'm always so grateful that the band returned to me to host a broadcasting event that is so significant. They could have gone to any DJ, but they will often circle back to me, to become involved with them when they feel that it's a particularly profound moment. And that's enormously meaningful to me. But it was one of the most exciting moments of the year, literally, to have the brand new Mogwai album to play in sequence on BBC Radio 6 Music for the fans around the world. So that they could hear it for the very first time. I was absolutely paranoid that it might leak, actually, but it didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We all held it down. Yeah. But what was incredible, actually, was to see also simultaneously Stuart jumping on Twitter and talking to the fans in real time and telling them lots of just really fascinating little anecdotes about what was actually happening behind the scenes as each particular track unfolded on air. But it was really exciting to be able to do that. It's one of the few things that you can genuinely, I think, only achieve with radio, with live radio in real time. So you have me at the epicenter, you have a brand new record, and you have people right around the planet all joining one another in real time to experience that record for the first time. And you also have Stuart talking to all of them. As well as their, you know, obviously their ability to communicate with one another on social media. And that to me almost feels like the holy grail of broadcasting. And it was just such an incredibly special moment for me. And I agree with you. I feel like it was a real significant step forward.
And how was it received by listeners as you were playing it out in sequence and keeping an eye online, like you said, in the tabs with what Stuart was talking about? Like, how did you feel? Like what was the response from people online?
In a word, rapturous. And I think that's what you get with Mogwai fans. You're absolutely committed to Mogwai in the same way that you may be committed to a football team, let's say, as a fan. You live with them every day, every week, every month. They're in your life. And they're a constant source of joy for me. And I would imagine that most Mogwai fans feel the same. You're either in or you're out. There's no half measure with them at all.
Having hosted sessions with them and been long-term supporter of them as well, do you feel like over the years you've seen this transition of perhaps being more confident and being more aware of their controls?
One of the questions that I put to Stuart recently was, how do you know when a Mogwai song is actually finished? Because he talked about the process of actually creating the material and how they are involved with very extensive, just freeform sessions, really, trying to develop the ideas. And he turned around to me and he said, well, in this case, Dave told us. So, I, you know, it's kind of something that you always imagine is a difficult process for a band who make music that is fundamentally instrumental. I mean, obviously Stuart sings from time to time, but the vast body of their work is instrumental. And it was just a question that I felt was necessary, because as we know, you know, that they can make incredibly protracted pieces, which are some of those beautiful things that that they do make for me as well. But how do you end a Mogwai track is kind of a, I don't know, it's a burning question really for me.
Yeah. And they just said that Dave told them. Okay. So maybe they're not quite there yet. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they're still very much so experimenting in how to make themselves in that regard. Oh, that's really interesting. I guess finally, like, I'm just quite curious, like, if you have any other stories or anecdotes that that for you over the years you feel really sum up the colour of Mogwai.
I would like to say that I'm a very great lover of instrumental music. I feel passionately about instrumental music, possibly in a way that other DJs may not. Instrumental music makes up the fabric of a great number of the programs that I've broadcast, and yet it's always perceived as difficult, in inverted commas, at radio, which is something that I challenge constantly, because I believe so deeply and profoundly in the work of artists like Nils Fram or Brian Eno, DJ Pinch, Mogwai, whatever it may be. I mean, there's countless artists that I've felt incredibly passionate about that make instrumental music, and I always feel that it needs more space in people's lives, you know. It needs more space on the radio, space that it finds very, very difficult to find. And I suppose I'm just completely blown away and so thrilled that actually Mogwai have managed to cross a bridge to a bigger audience without compromising one gram of anything that they do, and take instrumental music to what is really a significant and profound global audience. And I'm so thrilled that they're doing that. It feels to me something that shouldn't be that difficult. Do you know what I mean? And yet somehow it is. Stuart said to me that the last time he ever saw John Peel, Peel made the remark that he was kind of really surprised that Mogwai had gone on to be so successful. He didn't really anticipate that. And Stuart was slightly taken aback, he said, but he felt that what John was trying to say was that he would have played their music in spite of that, no matter what had happened in terms of the success of the band. And so would I, obviously. But I do love the idea that they fly the flag for instrumental music, quite organically so, but right around the world. And to see them headlining massive festivals, playing gigantic venues, and taking this beautiful, profound, just incredibly expressive music to those types of audiences, just it just completely blows me away, because I think in many respects you can do so much more with instrumental music. You can touch much deeper parts of the human psyche than you can with music which is I suppose which has a lyrical imposition, because I suppose then you're led to a different kind of interpretation, and primarily the lyrics will govern that. So I am a great believer that instrumental music can take you to an entirely different and deeper place, and it's possibly a place of peace that many of us need to find. I thank Mogwai for that. I think they're incredible. I love them so dearly. I really do. I love them.
Thank you to the wonderful Marianne Hobbs for taking the time out of her day to talk to me about her career-long love for Mogwai. Mogwai have just announced a number of new tour dates around the UK throughout November. Support for these shows will come from recent Rock Action signing The Twilight Sad, and tickets are on sale now. For more info, head to mogwai.co.uk. You can also follow the band on their socials at Mogwai Band, and to keep up to date with all things Rock Action related, be sure to head to rockaction.co.uk.